So we turn to Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. When Philip went down and met the Ethiopian eunuch, he found him reading Isaiah 53. And he said to Philip, "Of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man?" "I am the man," says Jeremiah. Well, he does speak of himself. He speaks of the church of his own day. But he speaks essentially of Christ. Ecce homo, behold the man, as Pilate said. And also, of course, as far as we are concerned, not only does it teach us about the sufferings of Christ, but it is for us to use in our trials, temptations, and difficulties. This is a sad world. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And as much as sparks fly upward, we need the lamentation passages of Scripture, the ones where the heart is poured out to God in complaint, bringing before him, pouring out our troubles. Perhaps it seems a thing to you that is not permitted, but it is permitted to let our heart gush out with all the things that we're resentful about, all the things we find difficult, all the things we can't really come to terms with. And the Book of Lamentation helps us to handle this sort of situation. I'm going to take the headings for this part of Lamentation straight from Matthew Henry. All the reading I've done, I find him the most helpful to do. And he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 headings in these first 21st verses. And I'll try and open them up, and then we'll speak about, therefore, have I hope in these situations? So Jeremiah says, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." Most unusual expression to draw attention to himself in this way. He has been through with his people the trial that they've gone through. He's seen the captivity. He's seen all the difficulties that went along with it. He's seen Jerusalem made desolate. And he's been part of it without being killed himself. And he says, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." Now he knows what he is talking about. But he's talking about the church, he's talking about Christ, and he's talking about us in our turn. He has been through this terrible experience. So, what are those experiences that Matthew Henry mentions and that we shall later consider concerning hope? Well, the first is that God is angry. Chapter 3 and verse 1. "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." I've seen affliction because he's been angry. His rod of correction has been laid upon the people of my generation, and I am sharing it with them. God is angry with the wicked every day, And I have seen that being worked out time and time and time again. And I've gone through it with them. I have seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And sometimes there is no doubt that we feel like that, that things have been laid on us, that things have happened to us, that God has afflicted us by the rod of his anger. But we're not to leave it there. We're going to come later. Therefore, have I hope. And the second thing that Matthew Henry mentions is a heading that, that Jeremiah is in the dark. Chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 6. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand. Verse 2. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. And verse 6. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. So those who have been dead, he sees that they're in darkness. They don't see the light of life. And he says, while I'm alive, I feel just the same, that thou hast led me and brought me into darkness. This is an experience of the darkness of the times in which I live, of the terrible scenes I've seen, even of women killing their own children and eating them. But I do believe that thou art in control. Therefore, thou hast brought me into darkness. Very frank, and yet at the same time, feeling enormously the burden of the people to whom he prophesied who didn't hear him. And Jeremiah says, I'm in the dark. I don't really know what's going on. I know there'll be 70 years of this, but I don't know the intervening times. I don't know the ups and downs. I don't know the difficulties along the way. And we may feel that sometimes. We know we're going to glory. We know we should see the Lord Jesus. We know that we should be glorified in him and be made in his image. But it seems a long time. We've no idea what each of the ups and downs of our life signifies. We do seek to understand them from him. We understand that he's leading us. And if we understand that, then presumably the logic is if things are going wrong, he's led us there. And this is how Jeremiah feels. And it's there for us. Because people have felt this down the years. The Lord's people have felt this, that they're in the dark. They're in the light of salvation. But when it comes to the events of life, they feel that they're in the dark. Why should this happen to me? What is the Lord trying to teach me by allowing these things to happen to me? And then God is or appears an enemy. Chapter 3, verse 3. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Verse 13, he has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. He seems to be treating me as if I'm the enemy. He seems to be against me, personally, and all the people. Now I stop here for a minute to say, this passage also speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the man. You remember on the cross he quoted the first verse of Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I've often wondered if that was just the beginning, whether in fact he quoted the whole psalm or whether the prayer was all summed up just in those particular words. Now, if you apply every one of these verses to the Lord Jesus, we can readily believe them because the Lord Jesus would have known this passage, and he would have known how to use lamentation. But we don't know from anything in the New Testament that any of these things troubled him, but things did trouble him, things did distress him, things did bring him to tears. So it is not out of order to say that all of these verses apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he said, in his perfect humanity, as in verse 6, he hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. Maybe he did feel like that in the depths of his heart. Nothing that has ever been revealed, but here the passage speaks of Christ. And the enemy of his soul and of ours, the devil, does seem to be striking, and God seems to be permitting him to do so. So the third point is God appears to be an enemy. And then the fourth point, and it's chapter 3, verse 5, and verse 7, verse 9 and 11. He cannot see a way out. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Verse 9. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Verse 11. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. So Jeremiah, mirroring his people, mirroring the church experience, putting into Christ the thoughts that he would doubtless read when he read the word of God in Lamentations, but here especially for us. We sometimes feel there's no end to this. We cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. We cannot find a way out. It's as if we're not in a tunnel, but a maze. We go one way and then the other, but never do we find the exit. Now, spiritual experiences, when we're going through difficult times, can seem just like that. They prey on our minds. They don't give us any rest. They don't help us at all. We see no way out of them. And here we are, if you like, shut up. So we may ourselves plead all these words. They're there for us to use. And if they echo or mirror our circumstances, as no doubt some of these verses will do to us at some time and others at another time, then that's for our help that they should be like that. But he couldn't see a way out. It will be nothing new if you can't see a way out of your predicament. It's been the lot of most believers. But of course, it's new to you. It's new to me. When it happens to us, as far as we're concerned, it's never happened to anybody else because we feel alone. But the Lord knows how to deal with this, and he knows how to deal with people. He knows how to settle their hearts, give them patience, direct them in the right way when we cannot find a way out. This was a prominent theme here of Jeremiah, as four verses were spent on that. It got to him. What was the explanation? What was the meaning of this? We knew it would end in 70 years, but when you're going through it, it seems such a long, long time. And then the fifth heading, God turns a deaf ear to his prayers, particularly verse 8. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. What does he do? Does he shout louder? Does he pray? And when his prayer doesn't seem answered, he shouts louder. It's what children do. Mummy doesn't answer, they cry twice as loud. We were always advised humorously in college, if we couldn't follow our own passage that we were expounding, to shout louder and divert the thing. But this is what he's saying, isn't it? I shout louder and still he shutteth out my prayer. Hope deferred, says the scripture. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Prayers that are unanswered now trouble us. When we said how long over 10 years and the prayer still hasn't been answered, it's 10 years to the Lord. 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. But to us, we haven't got those years. The Lord is from everlasting, but we are not, which is exactly what the psalmist said. We'd like to see our prayers answered, but the Lord always knows what is best. But we may cry out in these times, and he will comfort our hearts. Maybe give us a partial answer to our prayers, though it may see just a little glimmer. But sometimes it doesn't seem like that at all. To always remember that the Lord has vast and eternal issues involving many people and nations to bring into one harmonious whole. And our prayers, of course, are part of that. But we don't always see the answer. Anyway, that was Jeremiah's experience, and he felt it to be really a very hard thing. And neither did he find it an easy thing that his neighbours laughed. Verse 14, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. People laughed at me. It was me. Here I was caring for them, bringing the Lord's word to them, giving them the word that would have given them peace. And they laughed because it didn't fit in with their secular plans. It didn't fit in with what they naturally wanted to do. So they laughed at me. And I was a derision to all my people, my fellow Jews, not just enemies. Not just strangers, but the Jews. Well, surely this can be said of the Lord Jesus. I was a derision to all my people. And their song all the day means a drunken song. A song of lewdness. We know what it's like. We know the truth. By which men will be saved. But they laugh at us. They think we're just believe pie in the sky, if you like, or they think that we put the wrong things first. They're very happy in their own situation, maybe. And we are a derision to all the people. What Jeremiah says here was very public, but maybe we are a private derision to all the people in Christendom. They may all laugh at us behind our backs, perhaps to themselves, but they don't believe a word of it. And that he found very hard. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. And the last of all of these points, he was ready to give up. Chapter 3, verses 15, 17. And 18. Lamentations 3, verse 15. Ready to give up. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath making me drunken with wormwood. Verse 17. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace, I forgat prosperity. Verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. If you were feeling bitter, you would know that that was not a right expression as a believer. So, when you do feel bitter because it's part of the natural position, there is a clash. And bitterness does not help us, for we know it's not right. But that doesn't stop Jeremiah here coming into God's presence, pouring out his complaint, and uttering his bitterness. He feels things are not fair, feels things are inappropriate, all sorts of things like that, but they make him bitter. And the Lord doesn't mind us getting these things off our chest. The Lord doesn't mind us in our prayers coming out with things like this. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunken with wormwood. Wormwood is a bitter tasting oil from the bark of a tree. He's touched my teeth with gravel stones. My teeth grate within me. He's covered me with ashes, even as a person who is mourning is covered with ashes. But the Lord doesn't mind us perceiving our position like this and going to him about it. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I think you would think you were very wicked if you said that to God in your prayers. But the Bible teaches us that we may, that there are some such hard situations in life. Possibly because they're the first time we've met them. They may not be as bad as many other people go through, but we feel them. My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Well, it isn't. But we feel like that. It's our perception. And we are permitted to give expression to that. And then comes these words. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. So remembering these things that we've been talking about is the way to have hope. And being humbled by these experiences, our reactions to them, perhaps our guilty feelings about them, coming to terms with them, is all part of the way by which we come to have hope. Well, I'm going to go through those points again, showing how that we might have hope out of them. But in the meantime, I thought you would be interested. If you have a Westminster, well, any Bible will have a marginal reading. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind. And the margin says, make to return to my heart. I was just impressed. Matthew Henry quotes that margin. And it just made me think for a moment how long the Authorized Version has been our guide. He was actually born in 1652, Matthew Henry, 50 years after the edition. He died think it was in 1712 or 20. He died just about 100 years after the AV had been produced. But we've entered into that heritage. We don't want to throw it away, do we? He could quote the same margin that we can read. He, of course, quotes the same scriptures in the way that we have them. And that was all those years ago, 400 years ago, or 350 in his case. I was just captivated by that and thought I could make a digression and tell you about them. Well, first of all, then, let's come back. Remembering mine affliction, remembering my gall, that's the poison of them, the taste of them. My soul hath them still in remembrance. My soul is humbled in me. But remembering them, I recall them to my mind, and that brings me hope. So I'm doing what we want to. We're going to work through these again, because this is what we do in our experience. We recall them, and this gives us hope. So how do we recall them? Well, the first of those ones, do you remember, was God's anger. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. How then can we meditate on this affliction? How can we meditate on this misery? How can we meditate upon this hurt? Remembering the rod of God's anger. Well, we're Christians and we can use the Bible in its entirety. Jeremiah had the Old Testament, or much of it, the earlier part of it. And he would have known things that would have helped him in his affliction and in his misery to give him hope. And I've got a scripture for each of these situations, that if we are in any of them, we may turn to them. If we're in any affliction, we may find scriptures to meet our need. Well, anger. Well, what does it say in Psalm 30 and verse 5? His anger endureth but a moment. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It seems a long time, but upon reflection, upon humbling our heart, upon asking the Lord how angry he is with us, exactly why he's angry with us, and in some way, in this chapter, of course, it's because of the sin of the people, there may be personal sin involved in us. But his anger endureth for a moment. This our heart thinks about and therefore has hope. It will turn. It will change. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It won't always be like this. Therefore we have hope. Hope, of course, is to do with things that aren't seen. Hope is for things that are not yet, but we know they will be. It's not the same as faith. Now endureth faith and love. The greatest of these is love. They are distinguished, but hope requires faith and may be continued in love. And then in Psalm 103, Verses 8 and 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Things that make us feel that God is angry with us, we can't get answers to prayer, it seems, it will end because we're his people and he's not going to desert us. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Well, now that's one of the things that that's listed, remembering mine affliction and my misery, remembering it, remembering how it felt, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. So recalling these miseries brings us hope if we apply the scriptures to our current situation. Very difficult when we're going through situations to turn to the scriptures about them, but they're never more needed than just them. Well, the second thing was led into darkness. Do you remember? Led into darkness. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. What does Psalm 139 say? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. So when I feel the Lord is leading me and it's in darkness and it seems black and unrelieved, his word says, when you say, or when I say, the darkness shall succeed. It will cover me. I'm lost in darkness. Even the night shall be light about me. A wonderful expression, that the night should be light. Even that darkness should be made light to us in some experience or in some way. But remembering the affliction and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, and I have a remember that I thought the darkness was insuperable. But I know that this is what the Lord will do when I say, the darkness shall cover me, even the light shall be night about me. The light, so even the night shall be light about me. And then, though the book of Joel wasn't probably written in Jeremiah's time, the book of Hosea, nevertheless, we may read the book of Hosea and apply it. So, he appears our enemy. That was the third point. Call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Well, that sounds as if he's the enemy, doesn't it? And then the next verse. In the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. In the midst of that experience, the experience that the Lord is against us. And he says we've acted as if we're not his people. He won't call us his people. He's visiting us in anger about that particular thing. But in that very place, as we meditate, as we repent, in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said, ye are the sons of the living God. Have you felt that you're not his people because of your sin? Have you felt that he has rejected you? Well, in your situation in life, among those very thoughts, in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. That's Hosea 1, verses 9 and 10. And no way, couldn't find the way out way hedged up even with stones, not just with plants that could be pulled down. Romans 8:28, all things work together for them who are the called according to my purpose. And then in Matthew 19:26, all things are possible to God. No way? Oh yes, there is a way. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. No way. All things are possible to God. These are things, you see, that we, remembering our affliction and our gall, we humble ourselves and repent and come before the Lord. And in the middle of that situation, he gives us hope that because all things are impossible with him, he can change it easily. And then he spoke of a deaf ear. When I shout in my prayer, he doesn't answer. When I cry and shout, chapter 3, verse 8, he shutteth out my prayer. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was just at the grave of Lazarus before he raised him from the dead? He said to his father, thou hearest me always. And what are we told in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25? That the Lord Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. But the one who makes intercession for us, the Father hears always in prayer. He does not turn a deaf ear to his Son. We are in his Son. His Son ever lives to make intercession for us, and the Father will not turn a deaf ear to him. It will be answered, and it will be answered in his way and in his time, but we may rest assured in that fact. Neighbours laugh. I think teenagers feel this particularly. If they witness for Christ and the others laugh at them, because teenagers don't want to be laughed at. Well, none of us really likes it. And then the Psalms 1 and Psalms 2 that will help us. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The way of the ungodly shall perish. We shall live. They shall perish. If they laugh, well, why do the heathen rage? The Lord shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. They're the ones who will be laughed at eternally. They're the ones who will be rejected eternally. And if people laugh at us, we just turn to the Lord, saying, Lord, that time is coming when thou wilt reverse all things, and thine own shall be kings and priests unto our God, and the others shall be like the chaff. And you want to give up? If in those terms of that particular verse about giving up, remembering, so I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, verse 18. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 21:8. Behold, I make all things new. Many other scriptures, of course, speak to us that we're not to give up. Be thou faithful unto death. And if we don't give up, everything will be new. I said, my hope, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood and the gore. I said, my hope is perished as I remember all these things. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Lamentations, the Book of Lamentations, shows us how to handle whatever grief we have and still retain hope. Though it's a Book of Lamentations, it never loses the sense of hope. And as I've said, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's a frequent experience. And we have hope. We have hope in lamentation. We have hope in sadness. We have hope in bitterness. We have hope in the darkness of depression. Cling on to that hope. Pray to the Lord that that hope will overrule all the downward things and bring you safely home to glory. Amen.